Hello, welcome to season 8 of the Simpsons animated half-hour comedy family format show DVD commentaries. And I will not bore you, we don't want to repeat ourselves from season 7, but I just wanted to say, Bill, this is Josh Weinstein, and along with Bill Oakley, I was executive producer and showrunner. You heard us, if you're listening to this, you listened to our season 7 commentaries about our goals for the show. The goals remain the same, where we wanted to do a number of nice, emotionally grounded episodes, a number of episodes that were just funny, and some that pushed the envelope conceptually. And we'll get back to this episode, but I'll shut up and let the other people say hello.
This is Matt Groening, creative consultant, whatever that means.
Dan Castellaneta is the voice of James Bond, or whatever his name is.
Mike Anderson, animation director.
Ken Keeler, participant. I wrote the song at the very, very end of the show, in addition to...
Which is a good song,
Ken.
Sorry?
Thanks for coming.
All right, now, starting to talk about this episode, a few things. This is originally came from a story that was worked out by Greg Daniels. And one of the reasons I like this episode is it has three big conceptual ideas that all really work. The first one was the idea of the Simpsons actually moving out of Springfield. And I remember at the time, even though who would believe it, we were like, we're going to fool the audience. This is the beginning of season 8. We're going to make them think that the Simpsons are actually moving out of Springfield. And, well, maybe that concept didn't work as well, but it's, the other concept, which I maintain did work really well, was that Homer getting a new boss, and a modern-style boss, because Mr. Burns is Mr. Old-fashioned 19th-century boss, and we thought it'd be really interesting to see Homer get, like, a modern Silicon Valley, you know, touchy-feely sort of Steve Jobs-style boss and see what would happen. And also the third concept is what if that were the prototype for the new James Bond type of villain, which is a real guy who's a really great modern boss but is also bent on world domination.
You might need to explain to the audience who James Bond is.
Oh, now James Bond, for people who are alive, is he was a secret agent guy in the movies who would often fight these big villains.
Well, that's parodied in the Austin Powers movies. If you've seen those Austin Power films, that's what that's doing a takeoff of.
Well, people will be listening to this at some point in time when possibly a significant fraction of the population won't know who James Bond was, I suppose.
Now, I will say, talking about James Bond, there's huge... We originally wanted to just say James Bond, and it was a huge legal foo-foo-rah because they wouldn't let us say James Bond, so we thought of the closest possible thing, which was Bond. Now, Cypress Creek originally was a place called Emerald Caverns.
In the original story, yeah. And I know, because I remember coming in and seeing the card that said Emerald Caverns up as a story idea, and it stayed up for a long time before the story was ever discussed, and so we always called it Emerald Caverns. The writers who were there still refer to this as the Emerald Caverns episode.
Right, and in fact, today, some other writers were just calling it the Emerald Caverns episode.
Why was it changed?
Because we want it to be more like a Silicon Valley or Washington State Microsoft-style campus.
What did it end up being called? Cypress Creek?
Cypress Creek, which is hilarious.
Here's the extra money. And this house is falling apart. All right.
Yay!
Oh, wow, windows. I don't think I can afford this place.
Hello, I am not interested in buying the house, but I would like to use your restroom. Flip through your magazines. Rearrange your carefully shelved items.
I remember thinking at the time this was an odd little discursion of selling the house that we spent a surprising amount of time on, but I think it helped to sort of create the illusion.
Right, I think it was to really, we wanted to work in as many different characters and really make it seem like they were going to move.
We sell the house, we still won't come close to paying off the mortgage.
Hey!
Now, I think this is the first use. We refer to Little Lugger a little later, and it's one of these things that we spent hours trying to come up with a funny name, and we didn't.
On the other hand, I can say that we spent hours trying to come up with a name. I can't remember where it is, Mr. I hope it's still in here. The street on which
Maple
they live.
Systems Road.
Maple Systems Road, and we did come up with, in my opinion,
that is
a very,
my
very
favorite
funny one.
Street address ever.
Like when we originally did this, there was no dog and cat, and then the animatic screening, one of the designers said, hey, what about the dog and cat? We had to go back in and put the dog and cat everywhere, even though they're not part of the story, really. Except they move with the family.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara, dude.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ha-ha. I'm gonna miss Springfield. This town's been awfully good to us.
No, it hasn't, Dad. That's why we're leaving.
Oh, yeah. So long, stink town!
Notice those clouds look a little bit like dead chickens.
Now, starting here, I've read, Mike, this is fantastic direction throughout, but again, it's a whole new world of millions of little designs and stuff that had to be created.
Yeah, the designers did a great job on this, and the storyboard artists, I just want to mention Chris Roman, John Rice, myself. I think this show staged really well, and it's really exotic. And
do you wish the show had remained here in Cypress Creek?
No, I think one episode's enough. I like the ending of the episode, too. I think it's very funny.
Here we are, 15201 Maple Systems Road, our new home.
We're about to meet, of course, Hank Scorpio, which, being a monstrous Albert Brooks fan, that was like winning the lottery. I kept winning the lottery on the show by getting the great guest stars that I...
Right. Let's talk about the Albert Brooks and Hank Scorpio, because also, I know on the internet, he is the favorite Albert Brooks character that's appeared in the show. And Albert Brooks is really like one of the only recurring guest stars we have, right?
He's probably done 5 or 6 episodes. And this is the last time I got to record with him. And I would see him come in with his script just filled with new lines.
Wanted to talk about, because we know Albert Brooks is a crazy ad-libber, and he's also really hard on himself, and he's never satisfied with a joke.
Yeah.
So he will literally give you 3 different jokes for everything. And we actually talked about we could have done 2 versions of this episode with all the different outtakes of jokes that he did. And maybe they can find those outtakes and put them on and press a button now to see if they're there.
I think I have the tape of the outtakes. I know at one time I had it. I took it home and listened to it because it was jaw-dropping.
Everyone
I mean, there was 2 hours of material
in
there.
And he was so funny. And we knew when we were writing this episode, we said, okay, let's not worry about the Scorpio lines because it's Albert Brooks. He'll ad-lib something. And he did. And a lot of the best jokes were his, and also him ad-libbing with you, Dan, because some of Homer's reactions really are like the reactions of someone talking to Albert Brooks.
It was funny, he would do it something, so then I would think, okay, next time he does it, I'm going to say this. But then he'd say something different. And so I would always be thrown at
Well, from an animation point of view, we actually got the temp track first, and we had worked for 3 weeks into the process with the temp track, and then finally we delivered the track with Albert Brooks, and a few things have been changed, but it was worth it.
Now, this is, all of Globex and Hank Scorpio is based sort of on the 90s internet new employee-friendly style offices that maybe have gone by the wayside. And some people thought that Hank Scorpio is based on Richard Branson, just of the way he looks, but he's not. And actually, I know, weren't there some earlier designs of Scorpio that were somewhat different?
Yeah, well, we went through a number of designs. This was the one you guys settled on, but he's a perfect madman.
But we liked him because he just seemed like sort of that crunchy internet.
I love this bit visually. They're walking, going nowhere. Now they're not walking, they're going somewhere.
Your real dream.
Someday I'd like to own the Dallas Cowboys.
I bet people laughed at you when you told them that dream.
And this one other aspect of his story is it's also Homer finally gets respect from his boss.
Yeah.
And he's really well treated, and he does sort of rise to the occasion.
And of course, it turns out to be destroying half of the world.
That's the thing is, I feel like we always have to, nothing can go well in comedy land.
See all those computer screen moves? I came in one Saturday and did all the computers myself, so, in the whole show. Because they had nothing on them.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of actually realistic, at least like mid-90s style.
Yeah, just little stuff moving. Also, there's a freeze frame joke for animation people here. It comes a little bit later, but when Homer's left to take charge, it pulls out from him to show his 3 employees. I couldn't get them out of the frame, so they're actually lying on their desk until the last moment when we pull out and they sit up and start typing. And you can see it if you freeze frame it. How much of it?
Oh, my goodness, I'll be right up. Homer, I got to go upstairs. There's a problem. Somebody ate part of my lunch. I'm going to leave everything to you.
They were trying to show Hank's evil side. Right here where they actually just sit up and start typing, so they were out of the field.
Are you guys working?
Yes, sir, Mr. Simpson.
Could you, work any harder than this?
Sure thing, boss.
Hey, call me Homer.
Okay, now this joke here. www.studynet.edu. Can anyone here tell me why that's a joke?
No.
Okay. this is the most dated thing, one of the most dated things ever in the show, is at this time, 1996, the joke is that the school actually had, school is so advanced, it had its own website. Because at the time, there weren't many websites, and the idea that a school would have their own website would be amazing. And there's actually discussion of this. I looked it up back in 1996 on the very rinky-dink Simpsons websites where people were explaining, they had to explain the joke back then too, that it was about the ever-widening reach of the internet.
So the world's caught up with the Simpsons finally.
Yeah, that's right. And, but if you're unfortunate, that's not a real website either, because it's a .edu and only the government can give that out. And I think that's why we got away with it at the time.
Damn it, cursive handwriting, script. Do you know the multiplication tables? Long division?
I know of them.
You know, Bart, I think you'd profit from a more remedial environment. I'm sure you'll feel right at home in the Leg Up program.
Now this begins, this was the only part of this episode that was hotly debated, and I would say it's still sort of up to debate, is Marge's descent into alcoholism, which is sort of like, it's sort of sad and depressing, but and mildly funny. But the real thing was, we wanted to have a story for everybody, and we only had about 45 seconds to tell a Marge story.
I don't find it a depressing story. It's odd territory for her. I think, you know, it's worth pointing out to the audience that because we're here, we can't use any of the regular Springfield characters, which it may seem obvious, but it bears repeating. It's a real handcuff. And so we had to have a story for everyone in the family that was significant.
Right, and that might be also why we had Marge and Lisa pretty much on their own. But these designs are great, and I know we had to walk a real thin line on.
I was trying to remember. I think originally they all had sort of that Ralph hair, and it looked like they were kind of troubled or something. So we went and gave them all bigger hair, or some of them.
There was a joke. The thing that the kid from Canada was not that he was.
There was a different
anything wrong
first.
With him. They just assumed there was something wrong with him because he was from Canada. That was the idea.
That's right. But that helped cut the thin line that we had to walk.
Hello, Mr. Chipmunk. You're a northern reticulated chipmunk. Yes, you are. You are so reticulated. Hi, Mrs. Owl. You're out kind of early. La, 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 la.
Mr. Scorpio says productivity is up 2%, and it's all.
Now, did you reference any specific towns or places for these designs?
I can't speak for the designers, but I'm sure they did. When they're doing these things, they get tons of reference around them and just sort of, you know, blend them all together. Maybe a little bit like Third Street Promenade.
Yeah,
maybe,
because that's like the Third Street Promenade, and I know like Globex is sort of like the Microsoft or Nike campus. And other places are sort of like Silicon Valley.
Hey, where does Berman's dry cleaning come from?
I'm guessing 3 hours of hard work by the way.
Right.
Guys like me! I'm a guy like me! All right, team.
I'd forgotten about the how carefully the football is laid in. I'm not a fan of the sport, so it's hard for me to understand. But I know it pays off in the end.
It does, and it's actually one of Homer's dreams that's sort of like nice and believable as opposed to just being crazy.
I remember at the table read, Dan, you when you first read this, you read it as, what you guys need is ham hocks.
That's my terrible reading skills.
Now, this was crazy, like 15-minute ad-lib.
This was ad-libbing all the way, yeah.
There's the hammock hut. That's on third.
Uh-huh.
There's hammocks or us. That's
it.
On third, too. You got put your butt there.
Mm-hmm.
That's on third.
Yeah.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they're all in the same complex. It's the hammock complex down on third.
Now, you'll notice that because Dan's and Homer's reactions are really like your reaction.
Yeah, my reaction.
What is he saying?
To keeping up with it.
Just keeping up.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Scorpio. I have the Doomsday device. You have 70...
You guys like that Homer scratches his butt, because we had to have him do something, but we're pretty scared as animators to take that leap.
It just seemed okay, because it's a whole world domination thing going on in the foreground. But there was... these guys are like the Lenny and Carl of the UN.
We can't take that chance.
You always say that. I want to take a chance.
Collapsed on its own. You have 72 hours. See you. Back to the hammocks, my friend.
Yes.
You know, there's a little place called Mary Ann's Hammocks. The nice thing about that place is...
One rule that we had in this episode when it was being developed is that this whole James Bond thing and world domination is always in the background, where it's where Homer never is to comment on it.
Homer's looking for sugar up in the air. That always bothered me.
Yeah.
Trying to get a retake on it. You wouldn't do it.
There was a moment, a line about a minute and a half back that was so observational of the Bond movies. That just always struck me, and how hard it was to pick that little detail up. Where Scorpio, when he turns on the screen and is addressing the UN, he says, "This is Scorpio." He doesn't say, "This is Hank Scorpio." Who Bond villains use their last name, and only their last name.
It was a great thing in here with the coffee and the cream. It was another... When he offers him cream, he puts his hands in his pockets.
Yes.
Sugar around here?
Sugar? Sure. There you go. Sorry it's not in packages. Want some cream?
Where's that cream coming from? Now, one thing I love here, you want to talk
There's
about...
There's my coffee maker. My steamer and my espresso maker, which were eccentric to my house. My friends recognize it, but we were really nervous about putting it in there and afraid you'd point it out and be upset.
Is that one of those $500 espresso machines?
No, it's more like the $39.
If we had said, I don't think we need the coffee maker, would you have said anything?
I would have omitted it in a second, but you didn't say anything.
The whole forest is blooming. My eyes are burning.
In the animatic, she sneezed about 20 times. And we put it in there, said, you can lose a few sneezes.
I remember not being sure whether our point was that she was just had normal allergies or whether this was something especially sinister about Cypress Creek. But looking at it now, I guess it's just that...
It just seems like normal allergies.
Uh-huh.
And it's also the thing, in Comedy Town, things can't go right. They have to go wrong. So we have to find stuff to go wrong for everybody.
This was in the script it said Homer standing at the snack machine or something, and John Rice, the board artist, put in him putting the dollar in again and again.
I was going to say, that's one of my favorite little bits in this episode.
It's a good little way to take up time.
This is our second time we've done lasers going up towards the body on this show. We did an itchy and scratchy cartoon as well.
Stop him! He's supposed to die!
God!
Nice work, Homer! Am I proud of you?
I know, if he just pointed the lasers right at his eyes.
Well, in the Bond movies, they always set it up so they have time to escape by making it a very slow process.
So Homer helped kill James Bond.
Yeah.
I thought we originally were going to put silencers on those guns.
Did we? I think that might have been, and then someone just said, just let him kill him.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the animatic track was silencers.
Yeah.
So I think they changed it.
It didn't look like it didn't play.
I know doctors say you should drink a glass and a half, but I just can't drink that much.
Well, the Simpson men are doing fine, right, Bart? You haven't even gotten in trouble at school.
I can't get in trouble at school. They put me in the remedial class. I'm surrounded by arsonists and kids with mittens pinned to their jackets all year round.
This next sequence coming up when there's big battles going on at Hank's hideout. There's a lot of references to big action films of the time, but too numerous to mention. But
that's what's so amazing. There's incredible action going, as you'll see, coming up in every single shot.
It also has to be a change in balance from the good guys to the bad guys or vice versa. And also, there has to be an arc of activity in it, so it's not the same. So it's pretty...
Now, did you plan out? Did you like planning a battle?
Planned every shot.
Call out the references, please.
I wish I could remember a lot of them.
I do remember in the animatic or something, it was a Mrs. Goodthighs or something.
She's in this.
She's in it.
She kills Norman Schwarzkopf.
And she has good thighs.
Now, there's no real joke there. It's just horrifying.
Yes.
But do you remember any references?
You know, I really can't. A lot of them are from Bond films. Certainly, You Only Live Twice.
Now, that's supposed to be Norman Schwarzkopf, who in the first Iraq war, Kuwait war, was the big general.
Don't get me started about the government.
What's the problem?
Well, my family wants to move back to Springfield.
Let them go. You'll stay here with me. We'll go bowling.
Yeah, it was fun to, also the acting of Hank Scorpio. He's got two things on his mind all the time.
You can't argue with the little things. It's the little things that make up life. Homer, I'm disappointed, but I think you need to do what's best for your family.
Well, I'm very happy because I had forgot until I watched it that he does win in the end.
Need anything, you call me.
All right, what's the number?
I've never had to call my own company. Someone will tell you upstairs. But Homer, on your way out, if you want to kill somebody, it would help me a lot.
Now, is that an ad-lib, or is that written?
That,
I would guess, was scripted. What do you think?
I believe it is. Yeah. I believe it is. I tried to find a script line to see, but I couldn't.
Now America breathes a massive sigh of relief. They'll be back.
I didn't know they were going to come back. Wow.
Yep, he got away with it.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Let me just get my girlfriend and I'll go. Hey, Crystal!
Now, I like this because it's the reference to you never see. It's just like in Snake has Shoshana, Otto has Crystal, but it's the unseen girlfriend.
I have succeeded without you. This will get you a little closer to that dream of yours. It's not the Dallas Cowboys, but it's a start. Drop me a line if you're on the East Coast, Hank Scorpio.
I like how we didn't notice him on the way in.
Now, at this time, I don't know a lot about football, but the Denver Broncos were a very bad team at this time. Is that correct?
They weren't a bad team. They just kept going to the Super Bowl and losing. But just immediately after this aired, they started winning the Super Bowl.
This episode goaded them.
The one observation I want to make about this song is that, you know, I was asked to write a James Bond theme song parody. And when I wrote it, I thought we had about 3 or 4 more seconds than we have in a closing credits, which I think is 42 seconds. And the change in tempo, I thought, really weakened it. It was much more like Goldfinger. The extra 3 seconds gave you a tempo like Goldfinger, and like this, it's going just a little too fast and out of breath. Other than that, it's great.
It's a great pair. It's
enough
great
of a reason to sit through the episode.
One of my favorite
a great
episodes.
Song, and I know that we wanted to find Shirley Bassey to do it, but we were told that she was not alive, and then
she was in a nursing home.
She was, and we were very upset that we couldn't get her, but it's a great song nonetheless.
Goodbye, everybody.